Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows? Psalter 348, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 44, the verses 6 through 34. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 44, beginning with the sixth verse. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondman. And he said, Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laid it every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we, and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, I get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord ask a servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. And now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. And now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. A most holy, a most righteous, a good doing, ever faithful, and merciful God in the heavens, and we are poor creatures upon the earth, and thou hast said unto thy church, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And, Lord, in our deep fallen Adam, Then we have lost everything. We have lost thy image. And we have become so poor. And we know not how to pray as we ought. And to that end, Lord, may it please thee in this hour to grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving. Oh, then we need thy dear Son who sitteth at thy right hand as that praying and thanking high priest. Lord, then it is so indispensable each time by renewal when we draw nigh unto thee that thou granteth a deep, a profound impression of thy majesty and of thy greatness, but also of our smallness and of our sinnership. Lord, may it please thee in this evening hour to look down upon us poor sinners in the Son of thine eternal love. It is only through him that thou can hear and answer the humble supplications. Grant also a heart to acknowledge thee where in this solemn time that the doors of thy house may still be opened and that some may still gather in thy house. The greatest part is in their dwellings. Oh, Lord, may that truly become an unbearable burden. May it be our sin and our guilt, and that thou may use thy solemn speaking, that we may all be given to turn unto ourselves and repent of our evil ways. Oh, Lord, may it please thee under thy judgments, that thou may have a special favor unto us and our children, that it may be heard among young and old, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. Oh, Lord, it is all thy work from the beginning to the end, and to that end, leave us not untouched, leave us not unmoved, because if thou leaveth us lie in our forlorn condition, then we are forever lost, and then we are forever cursed. But now we have heard it in this morning, that message of that only name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved, that it must be brought to all people. And thou was all power in heaven and upon earth, O Lord. May it please thee to manifest thy power in this evening hour in the conversion of sinners. But thou also has a people upon the earth that learn that they are so weak in self. Without thee, they can do nothing. Oh, Lord, they can only ruin it. And they can bring forth nothing but unbelief and listen to the whisperings of the devil. But, oh, Lord, when thou speakest with power, then thy children may, and then they shall hear. And thou wast promised, lo, I am always with you, even unto the end of the world. Ah, Lord, what better token could thou grant in this hour of thy special presence than when sinners would be converted, but also when thy children may receive a blessing? Remember so the whole congregation. By renewal we commend unto thee the fathers and mothers who have presented their little child to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. Oh, Lord, wilt thou grant exercises unto those parents, grant them a special place at thy footstool, may it please thee, to work from generation to generation. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace in the midst of the church, in the family circles, also for our school in the coming weeks. It shall be closed to that end. Wilt thou help and remember all the instructors, the parents, and the students. May there be a working together, and may it all be blessed. Wilt thou remember the nations of the earth, and wilt thou also remember our nation, and remember our province, where the virus continues to spread. Then we remember all those in hospitals, remember all those that work in the medical field. Wilt thou impress upon their hearts that without thy blessing, the means cannot and shall not avail. We may acknowledge thee that none of our people are in the hospital in this day. That is also thy good hand, Lord. May there come a time among our leaders that there may be an acknowledgement that thou art the King, and that thou hast everything in thy hand, even to the smallest upon the earth. Ah, Lord, we have departed so far from thee, from thy word, and from thy institutions. Wilt thou remember all the special needs? We have laid them before thee already, all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, the crosses and the burdens. Wilt thou remember the family circles? Wilt thou bless the labors of our hands? Wilt thou remember all the seed that has been entrusted into the womb of the earth? Lord, then it is thy work to grant germination and to cause it to sprout and to grant growth. May our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou grant health and strength for our daily labors, Lord? Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, where they cannot labor the difficulties of the body and of the mind? Wilt thou remember all those that may lovingly care for them? Wilt thou remember those that are struggling with temptations and with addictions? Wilt thou grant a place at thy throne of grace, where they may be given to cry unto thee, that thou may be delivered? Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who in the near future hope to be united in holy matrimony. Wilt thou help them with all their preparations? May they be given to beg of thee, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name, that by grace that they may be given to seek thee early. Wilt thou remember all of our young people? May it please thee to grant them a future spouse and thy divine favor under the old truth and under the old ways. Lord, in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we beg of thee for thy gracious help. And may it please thee to grant a few simple words to speak. We are so dependent upon thee for everything. Wilt thou remember all the listeners? Wilt thou go from bench to bench and from chair to chair, and from dwelling to dwelling, and from heart to heart, ah, Lord. Leave us not cold and untouched, but may it please thee to magnify thy wonders in the hearts of us and our children, as thou hast promised to work from generation to generation in these solemn times. Wilt thou grant those exercises by thy Spirit, that there may be a storming of the throne of grace, that thy great and worthy name may be glorified in these solemn times. Lord, then also in this evening, then we have to confess that our sins, that they are great, that they are manifold, also the sin of our unthankfulness, O Lord, then our only hope. And may it be our expectation that is thy mercy and thy mercy alone. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 158, the stanzas 4, 5, 6, and 7. A glorious banner thou wast given to those who fear thy name, a banner to display abroad, and thus the truth proclaim. And what follows, 158, 4 through 7. in this evening hour with the Lord's help. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 6, the question and answer 16 through 19. Question 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17, why must he in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Question 18, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. A Lord's Day number 6 speaks of the precious revelation of the mediator with four thoughts. In the first place, the mediator's description. In the second place, the mediator's qualifications. In the third place, the mediator's person, and in the fourth place, the mediator's gospel. The precious revelation of the mediator, the mediator's description, the mediator's qualifications, the mediator's person, and the mediator's gospel. Thus first, the mediator's description. Beloved congregation, then in the last Lord's Day, then we have heard precious things, because then we have heard of an uncovered sinner, that his mouth has been stopped, and then he has said since. Then he was given to agree and bow under the justice of God, because then we have heard it since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Oh, then we have heard a separation, because Lord's Day number 5 also separates the precious from the vile. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? And then the instructors, then they upheld the justice of God, And then they have stated that satisfaction must be made by us or by another. And then we have heard it the last time. Ah, then such a soul, a serious inquiry, because he has learned, but he has also heard that satisfaction needs to be made. Ah, then a sinner has tried by himself, but then it has been the answer, but it is the experience by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? And then we have heard it impossible. And then in question 15, then a door of hope has been opened in the valley of Achor, because then there is spoken of a mediator. Do you hear it, congregation, in the life of the true church? Then that mediator shall be revealed from behind the justice of God. Oh, we live in a time where there is skipped over much, and it is true the Lord is free. The one he leads deeper than the other, but the church, they have the same teacher, and they shall learn from what a great death they must be delivered. And thus in Lord's Day number 5, then the day was dawning. Oh, we have already heard, because the Spirit does not work a despair. Oh, it is true, a despairing of self. But then we have already heard in Lord's Day number 3 that there was a little hope, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And now in Lord's Day number 5, then there is spoken what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for. Oh, young and old, have you begun to seek? Have you now become a seeker, that you may be restored into that blessed fellowship and communion with the Lord? Oh, have you learned more and more that from our side it is impossible? But now in Lord's Day number 5, as it were, that the day is dawning, that the light is arising, and in Lord's number 6, the sun may arise. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Thus, boys and girls, then this Lord's Day, that goes about a mediator, and that is a big word. Thus, then, our first point, then we must first tell you who a mediator is. That is one, when there are two people, maybe fighting with one another, when they have a disagreement and they are quarreling, then a mediator is one that steps in between and that speaks to both parties and tries to find out the difficulty, the wrong, and finally to bring those two together. Thus now you know what a mediator is. We have many beautiful examples in the Bible. We have read together out of Genesis 44. And who was the mediator in that chapter, boys and girls? Who was the one that has stood in between an angry Joseph, because they found that silver cup in the sack of Benjamin? Thus, who has stood in between Joseph and those brothers? That was a Judah. Much has transpired also among the brothers of Joseph before they have needed Judah. Because in Genesis 42, when they have went to Egypt to buy corn, and they have appeared before Joseph, what did they say? Did they say, we are guilty brothers? We have sold our brother into Egypt. No, they have said, we are true men and we are no spies. Then they did not need a mediator, because they did, they know, of course, must have been an awful life for those brothers for so many years to walk upon the earth, have deceived their old father, knowing what they have done. Then they were put in prison, and they have said, they have remembered the anguish of Joseph, and they have said they were guilty, but they did not need a mediator, because they were true men, and they were no spies. And even when those brothers, it is true, Simeon has remained in prison, but then they have come back to their father, and they said, Father, we have told the governor that we were true men, and we were no spies. They did not need a mediator. So that's still our picture, congregation. True men, not spies. Oh, of course, we all have an impression that we are sinners, an impression that we cannot appear before a holy and a righteous God, but maybe trying to settle our conscience. We are not as bad as other people. It is a blessing when we do not do as bad, that we do not go into the world. But are we still true men and no spies? But in Genesis 43, when Jacob by renewal has said to his sons, boys, our corn is nearly gone, you must go to Egypt to buy corn. And then Jacob, his father, said that he could not let Benjamin go. And then Judah has become surety. He has said to his father, Father, I will take care. I will even take the place of Benjamin. Thus then, Judah as a mediator, he received the place. But when they went that second time to Egypt, then that servant has even said, peace be unto you. Thus have received comfortable words, and they brought with double money, and they brought some nice presents for Joseph. Thus what those, they were so busy with those presents, and when those kind words were spoken, then they did not need a mediator. And then even at the end of chapter 43, they were given to dine with Joseph. No room, no need for a mediator. Is that our picture, congregation? Then it is necessary. We have read it together out of Genesis 44. That Joseph, he has commanded that silver cup, that it would be put in Benjamin's sack. And then Joseph has sent a servant. And then those brothers, they have said that they have not stolen gold or silver. And then the sacks were opened. Started with the oldest, no silver cup. And then, boys and girls, where was it found? Benjamin's sack. Could not deny it. That silver cup, that is a beautiful type of our original sin. It can be so hidden, can be so uncovered. And then with that silver cup, then those brothers, they went back to Joseph. And then there was a need for a mediator, one who would dare to speak to Joseph on behalf of those brothers. Then we read that name of Judah, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a Judah was given to confess. Their sin had found him out. What shall we say? First has pleaded and has offered to take the place for Benjamin. As boys and girls, a beautiful type of a mediator. Reverend Hellenbrook, in his question book, then he asked concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, whether Christ is only a mediator of intercession or also of reconciliation. And then Reverend Hellenbrook, according to the scriptures, then he explains that the Lord Jesus Christ is both a mediator of intercession, that is one that pleads to make things right. But we can understand even our children. If you now have two people and they are at variance with one another, and the one has stolen $1,000 from the other, then there can be a mediator, and that speaks to both parties. And then he can tell them, you must try to get along, you must not quarrel. That quarreling must be taken away. But then that one man shall say, but I am out $1,000. Then I need my $1,000 back. And that is now a mediator, that is willing to come up with that money. That is now a mediator of reconciliation. Our second thought, the mediator's qualifications. And that refers back to answer 15 of Lord's Day number 5. What sort of a mediator and deliver then must we seek for? Oh, that is a sinner that has experienced that they can never satisfy that justice. But now what has been declared concerning a mediator, and now the question is, what kind of a mediator do we need? Oh, that is a mediator, because I read in Job 9 verse 2, how can man be just with God? And then in verse 33, neither is there a daysman that can lay his hands upon both. Thus in our Lord's Day, then it concerns a mediator that stands between a holy and a righteous God that cannot overlook one sin. His justice requires that sin is punished temporally and eternally. Thus a mediator between that holy and majestic God and between a poor sinner that has learned that they have not a penny to pay. Oh, we have heard it the last Lord's Day that their debt is only becoming greater. For one who was very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who was also very God. And now in Lord's Day number 6, then the instructors, they are given to examine the qualifications of that mediator. And that is for the comfort of the true child of God. And then there is asked, in question 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Thus, that is a double question. First, to examine why the mediator must be very man. And then in the second place, why he must be a real righteous man. And then the answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. The Lord, his justice is so perfect that he shall never punish an other nature for the sin which we have committed with body and with soul. Of course, in the Old Testament, then many animals were sacrificed. But the sacrifice of those animals, they did not take the sin of an Israelite away, but that only pointed to the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. Thus the same nature with the body and with the soul. In the second place, for the fulfillment of prophecy, because in Genesis 3 verse 15, the mother promise, where there was spoken of the mediator to come, that he must be the seed of the woman, thus a descendant of Adam and Eve, and further in the scriptures declared, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, the house of David. In the third place, then he had to be truly human, to be capable to suffer and to die, because the Lord has said to our first parents in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And that was a threefold death. Thus the mediator must be truly human, that it would be possible to undergo that threefold death as a substitute for his children. In the fourth place, then the mediator had to be truly human, that he was a body and soul, that he could perfectly keep the law, because the Lord says in the book of Leviticus, do this, and thou shalt live. Thus that mediator, he had to obey the law perfectly for his people. Then in the fifth place, to fulfill all the types of the scriptures, also the type of a kinsman. And a kinsman, when he would rebuy back that property that has been sold, then it had to be a relative. And then finally, the mediator must be truly human, because he had to be that sympathizing high priest. Ah, that he could understand his sheep. Oh, he has been that shepherd. The shepherd, he has suffered, he has died. Oh, then the shepherd, then he has become a sheep himself. He was the lamb that was led to the cross. Thus six reasons why the mediator had to be very man. And then the second part of that question, and also perfectly righteous. Maybe the young people, the children, can give an answer. Why did the mediator now have to be a perfectly righteous man if the mediator had now only one sin, one sinful thought? Then could he be a mediator, boys and girls? Then I think you shall answer. Then that mediator would have to suffer and die for his own sins. Thus to that end, a real righteous man, oh, to fulfill the types in the Old Testament, then it is clearly stipulated that the priest was to be a priest without blemish, but also the sacrifices, they were examined by the priest. It had to be a perfect animal and no blemish. In the second place, as we have said, if the mediator was a sinner, if he had a debt then he could never pay the debt of for an other. In the third place, if he was not perfectly human, then there could never be that union with that divine nature that was only possible with a body and soul that was without blemish and without sin. And in the fourth place, if he was not perfectly righteous, there would be no access at the throne of grace. Question 17. Why must he in one person be also very God? Thus then in question 17, then we have two matters that are actually asked. In the first place, why must the mediator now be very God? And in the second place, why must he be that mediator in one person? Answer, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath. Impossible for the human nature to bear the wrath of God against sin. Oh, then the mediator, he would have succumbed. And to that end, that by his Godhead, he would sustain that human nature. Oh, that mediator, his suffering was so deep and so profound, but that he was also divine, that has supported that human nature. Then in the second place, that it would be possible in a short time to bear that wrath away. In the third place, we had to be unable to defeat that triple-headed enemy. And in the fourth place, he had to be God, that he might obtain, that he might apply those benefits. And therefore the instructors have added, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Oh, congregation, what precious words. Righteousness and life. Oh, are we exercised with the same? Have we become exercised therewith? Because when we read righteousness and life, then we become busy with our unrighteousness, and then we become exercised with our death, and then we learn that we are lying under the curse and the wrath of God, as we have heard in Lord's Day number 4. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious mediator, and that is a people. That is the most important. What sweet words, congregation. Righteousness, no sin on my account, and life delivered from a threefold death. Thus, then the instructors, then they are declaring the necessity of the two natures of the mediator, that he must be very man, that he must be real righteous, no original, no actual sin, but that he must also be very God. Beautiful, typified in that altar, that brazen altar of burnt offerings, was made of shittim wood, but it was covered with brass. And boys and girls, if that altar was not covered with brass, what would have happened to that altar? Then you shall say, it would have all been burnt up. And that is now points to the human nature, the shittim wood, but his divine nature that is that brass, that altar would not be consumed. Our third thought, the mediator's person, but let us first sing. Psalter 422, the stanzas 1 and 2. My mouth shall sing for aye thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record. I know how firm and sure thy wondrous grace is founded, established in the skies by love that is unbounded. And what follows, 422, 1 and 2. the precious revelation of the Mediator. The Mediator's description, the Mediator's qualifications, and now thirdly, the Mediator's person. When we speak of the natures, then we speak of what the Mediator is. But when we speak of his person, then we speak of whom he is. And now we have heard it in the last Lord's Day and in this Lord's Day, that the student may receive much instruction. A hope outside of themselves. They learn that they can never save themselves. Then there is spoken of a Mediator. Oh, what an examples we have in the scripture. Think of the daughters of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon chapter 5. Oh, they also had their beloveds. But then that bride, oh, then they have asked, but what is thy beloved more than other beloveds? Oh, think of the woman with the issue of blood. Then she was exercised with her sickness for 12 years. She had went to many a physician, and her purse was empty. Oh, Simeon has even received the promise that he would not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now in this Lord's Day, oh, what a wonderful Lord's Day, then it may be proclaimed for those seeking souls, for a poor and needy people, that cannot save themselves. And then there is asked, who then is that Mediator, who is in one person, both very God and a real righteous man? And then it may be declared, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, then in this Lord's Day, then it may be declared what I find written in John 1, when John the Baptist, when he was preaching at the River Jordan, and then in John 1, verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Then in verse 36, it was the next day, behold, the Lamb of God. And then there was a John and an Andrew. And then a John may declare that it was the 10th hour. Then that precious Mediator, who was white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s. Oh, then he may be declared for a sinful, for a guilty, and for a black, and for a vile sinner. And then what a precious answer, because then the instructor may say, he does not say the Lord Jesus Christ, but by that true saving faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. And now that word our, that is declared in Lord's Day number 7, where it speaks of that true saving faith which the Lord grants unto his child by the work of the Holy Spirit in the moment of regeneration in its essence, but also in the further exercises in the exercise of faith. Thus our Lord, that is declared in Lord's Day number 13. Then Jesus, oh, do I not read in Matthew 1, verse 21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, in this Lord's Day, then it may be declared what I find in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. That is another name for Mediator, God with us. That two parties that are so far apart that they may be reconciled. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ anointed to the threefold office which the instructors hope to declare, and Lord's Day number 12. Oh, then in this evening, is there then a poor and a guilty sinner, laden with her sins, walking over the earth, a missing and a seeking people? Oh, that have tried everything to satisfy justice. Oh, have received hopes and have received encouragements. But with everything that you have experienced, that you have to confess, a sinner still. Oh, the vehement desire. If we would ask what you need, that you would say, oh, I need righteousness in life. If I would receive those benefits, then I would be the happiest person upon the world. Oh, then in this evening, for poor and needy sinners that have ruined everything, that have sent everything away, then that glorious, precious mediator, then he may be declared, then the instructors, according to the word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then they have further explained, they have declared 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, who of God? Then the instructors, they are given to tell us that it is the God-appointed mediator. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thus the God, the divinely appointed mediator, that fallen sons and daughters of Adam, that they may be delivered from that awful punishment, and that they may be restored, that they may receive righteousness and life. And now in that precious mediator, then according to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, four benefits, who of God is made unto us wisdom. The church learns that they are so foolish and heavenly ways. They have to be taught everything, but he is wisdom himself. And then the Spirit, we read that Christ, that he pours out those heavenly graces whereby they are enlightened. They learn their sinnership. They learn what they miss. They learn that they can never pay that debt themselves. But it is now the work of the Spirit, to reveal that only name, as I read in Acts 4 verse 12, no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Therefore, Paul, he has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, that he desired not to preach no other name but Christ Jesus and him crucified. Paul has learned that he was made wisdom. Then on the way to Damascus, then he has entered on the school of King Jesus. But not only wisdom and righteousness, that refers to justification, to be acquitted of guilt and to receive a right to eternal life. And sanctification, that is to become holy, to become meet for heaven. Only in beginning shall be in perfection at the end of the life of the saints, and also redemption. That mediator, he has delivered his church from sin, from the guilt, from the punishment, delivered them from the bondage of sin, the power and the dominion of sin. Delivered from the devil and from the world. Young and old, what a precious mediator. What a wonder from heaven that that only name may be declared. The Lord would have been righteous after our deep fall in Adam to send us all to hell. But now the Lord declares that there is a mediator, one that is enabled to stand between the breach. And he is such a perfect mediator because he has fulfilled everything which his Father has laid upon his shoulders. Oh, in this, in the state of his humiliation, and we have heard it in this morning, all power is given unto him in heaven and upon earth. And now the King, that mediator, he is exercising his divine power, and that his church shall, that his church may be gathered. Ah, then we have heard that precious promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. O people of God, that can go through the depths, shall go through the impossibilities, and what all lays before is known unto the King. But he is that mighty King. He is that ever-present King. He has promised to never forsake his people. Oh, he has engraven them upon the palms of his hand. He is in the presence of his Father. He has went with that blood into the sanctuary, and there he exercises authority as that mediator. Our forethought, the mediator's gospel. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? And what is now the answer? The instructors say, our fathers, they have spoken of these things. Or have they spoken of the experience of an old child of God, not to minimize? And we must experience these matters. There's more than head knowledge, congregation. When the Lord works, it all becomes real in our life. Our sin, the justice of God is goodness, but also that demand for satisfaction all becomes real. Did the instructors, did they point to tradition? No. Sola Scriptura, Latin words, Scripture alone. And therefore they have said, from the Holy Gospel. That word gospel, that means good news for poor and lost sinners. It is called the Holy Gospel because the author, oh, what a precious gift that the Lord has given to the children of men, his holy word, a word that precious mediator may be proclaimed, declared, and also the way how the Spirit works, that fallen sons and daughters of Adam, that they may be led to that saving knowledge. Because God's people, they shall find their life in God's word. The church cannot find their life in the Bible, then they must put a real big question mark behind it. Thus the Holy Gospel, the author is holy, the contents are holy, and also by the application of the Spirit, that people become holy. And then the instructors, they have said, which God himself first revealed in paradise. We have mentioned the promise of Genesis 3 verse 15. I will put enmity between the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And then further, and afterwards published by the patriarchs. Who are the patriarchs? Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the book of Acts, then also the 12 sons of Father Jacob, they are called patriarchs. Oh, and Abram, then the Lord has made that promise to him, and that in his seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. confirmed different times. Oh, think of Father Jacob on his deathbed. Then he was given to speak of Shiloh, that his brethren, that he would be praised. And then further, the prophets, not only the four major prophets, the 12 minor, Moses also called the prophet. Oh, how richly they have spoken and pointed to that mediator. Think especially of the prophet Isaiah, sometime called the evangelist of the Old Testament, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. What beautiful types it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. Think of Aaron when he has taken that censer and he has stood between the living and the dead. And lastly, has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Galatians 4 verse 4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a Son made of a woman made under the law. What a precious proclamation. And now the question. Matthew 12, verse 42. Then there was asked, what think ye of Christ? What think we of this precious mediator? Be now honest, congregation. What think ye of Christ? What a wonder that a way was made, that the blackest, the chiefest sinner may be saved. Oh, what it has cost that mediator. And how is it now in this evening hour? Oh, when you have to say that you are not exercised with these things. Oh, I hope. Still some convictions. I hope, young and old, that you do not become bold and hardened in sin. That you are still given to ponder over these things. That there are still times, maybe sleepless hours, that you cannot sleep. And that you think of death, of righteousness and life. And that you have to tell the Lord, Lord, I am still unconverted, so busy with the world, so busy in my family, on the farm, with my business. Ah, Lord, I can continue week after week. Ah, may you be given to bow your knees and ask the Lord that he may begin that good work in this evening hour, and that you may truly become unconverted, and that room may be made for that precious mediator. Maybe souls, a few souls, when you think back, that there was a time that you were deeply troubled, received maybe a hope, but now what is so still? Then you need a mediator, because with convictions in itself necessary, but in the true work, and the Lord leads the one quicker than another, but it is now the work of the Holy Spirit, as we have heard in this afternoon of Eliezer, to make room for that bridegroom. People of God, how far can we come? We have heard the introduction, oh, that only comfort in life and death. We have heard of the part of misery, and that continues to be experienced in the life of a child of God. Zephaniah 3 verse 12, I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And now we have come to the part of deliverance. Ah, let there be no rest, till we may be given to rest, where the Father may rest, and that is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a precious answer. Oh, are there souls that may say, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way of revelation, oh, may the Lord also grant that word our congregation. What think ye of Christ? Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard of precious things, and who was able to declare their riches and the beauty thereof for a poor and a needy sinner. Oh, Lord, may it please thee to grant the application by thy Holy Spirit, and may we be given to meditate upon what we have heard. Lord, we may commence another week. Ah, then we humbly ask thee to watch over us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we are called to be, well, to keep from harm, from sickness, well, to keep above all from an unexpected and an unprepared death. Lord, bless all the labors of our hands. Well, to in a special way, remember the children with the parents when they are called upon to study at home. Well, to be their helper. Well, thou now bring us safely to our homes. We may acknowledge thee that thou wast given in other Lord's day, that the doors of thy house may still have been opened, that thou wast yet given a few words to speak. Oh, Lord, be then the after preacher. Well, thou bless what awaits thy blessing. Grant a prayer for one another, Lord. We are ready to leave one another. May we be given to meet one another at thy throne of grace. Ah, do then a great work amongst us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows, 194, 1, 4, 5, and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.